Once in a while, I like to bring this one out and remind us that it is a good thing to keep your quiet time with God. My quiet time alone with God is one of our songs, Ron Hamilton's song. We'll just look at part one tonight, but the Psalm 143, 8 to 10, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee, or the Hebrew, hide me with thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. There is a plan that God has for human life, and this is what his law is all about. Much of the law is telling us that it's too hard for us to not sin. But the other side of that is that God has a way of the best human life. It is the way of life. It is the high way. It is the way that is safe. And then there's a way that, you know, man just chooses that feels like it would be more fun, be better, be easier on us. But the consequences hurt us, hurt others, hurt our family, hurt our community, hurt our country. Striving for freedom from God's ways, man finds a way that destroys himself. So part of our daily devotions is just reminding us that sin is bad for us and God's way. When Christ was talking about the broad way that leads to destruction and the narrow path, he wasn't talking about salvation. Most people get that mixed up. The reason I know this is that there is no entry that people make into the wrong path. They're born that way. But this is something that people choose. And the idea is that you can do it your way. You think it's better than God's ideas. Gives you the luxury of giving in to your temptations. But all sin is bad for us. God knows it. It could be bad psychologically. It could be bad for your health. It could be bad for a community's health. The entire nation of Israel was put on a diet away from pigs and toward lambs and cows and goats and stuff like that. And it ends up, Dr. Mike was explaining to me, that it's an entire different food structure, that man and lambs and goats and so on, they're on different food structures. So we don't feed those animals food that could be good for us. You see, pigs, they eat the same thing we do. So not only was there the potential of trichinosis, untreated, unwell-cooked pork, and carry these little, I don't know, worm things in there, and then you have to take ivermectin or something, ivermectin, and get run out of the hospital. But the idea is that God has given us the best way of life, the most complete way of life, the happiest way of life. But we need to learn this. Lead me in the land of uprightness. It's just a better life. All right, how to have a quiet time. Let's say we decide that it would be a good idea to have a special quiet time with God. What am I going to do? Well, first of all, your daily quiet time must include two things. One is the Word of God, reading it, hearing it, however you can get it, and then prayer. So just sharing the way I like to do it, the way I like to think about it, is that first of all, I like to pray myself empty. And I'll explain that in a moment. Then read myself full, and then finally pray myself active. So I begin and end with prayer. The first prayer is not that long or involved, but it is a settling down. Whatever I've been doing, whatever I've been involved in, I stop doing that. I start thinking about something else. And I pray myself empty. Then I'm ready to be filled with the Word of God. And only then, after I've taken it in, do I want to really think about that and I really want to apply that to my life. That's when I pray myself active. So first of all, pray myself empty. Pray myself empty. Let's look. Are we not being able to get this?
The first slide that has any content starts with when to have a quiet time.
Okay.
So everything prior to that in your notes isn't here.
How weird is that? Okay. I'm having some trouble with my computer at home. Or it's having trouble with me. I can't tell which is which. But anyway, if you have crayon and paper with you, that you can draw these things up. All right, pray myself empty. Instead of rushing into the reading of the Bible, I like to just settle my mind on what I'm doing and think about with whom I am dealing. I don't know that if I had an appointment with President of the United States, and I just come rushing in and say, let's see, what was it I was wanted to tell you? I'll think of it in a minute. You know, you wouldn't do that. You'd come prepared to talk to somebody whose time would be important. So begin with a quiet time of prayer. And the focus to me is always, it's the quiet time. I want to remove myself from the busyness of what's going on around. I want to remove my thinking from what I'm involved in. This is the idea of the closet. A closet in the Bible, it just means a room off to yourself. It wouldn't be very much help to get into most of our closets. You'd have to stand on one foot with all the stuff on the bottom, and then you'd squeeze in between coats and stuff, and wouldn't be a good place to pray at all. But begin with a quiet time of prayer where you empty yourself of the worldly influences. Seek to accomplish several things, and I'll give you five things. In this prayer, you're trying to do these five things. Number one, focus your thinking. We tend to be rather scatterbrained. We have many things that are pressing upon us. We have many things we're going to try to get done this day or the next day. And those things can press upon us. So focus your thinking. Let it sink in that you are speaking to the awesome God of the universe. You are actually speaking to Him and He's listening. Look at that. And so, prepare for your exchange with God. Begin speaking of the many reasons you have for praising Him. This is a great way to begin, thanking Him for this. You know, the word thankful in the English began by meaning mindful of His blessings, mindful of His of whoever you're thanking. The word think and thank come from the same root. It'd be thank, E-N-C actually, the TH sound and then E-N-C in the early English. and it meant to think. So, to think you, to thank you, is to say, I have thought about what you did, and I that's very nice. I am mindful of your blessing. So the idea, think that through and begin talking to him about what a blessing he has been. Maybe you're going through some trials, but all the more important to think first of the blessings, the reasons you have for praising him. Now, completely aside from how nice you might have it in your life, you have his salvation, you have his love, you have the sacrifice of his son. And so you thank him for those things. The second thing, you focused your thinking. Now calm your heart. Calm your heart. Don't try to fit God into your hectic schedule. Give this time to him. Take a deep breath, blow it out, and just be still before the Lord. Calm your heart. Three, these are things that I do almost step by step. Number three, ask God to bring you close to him during this time. See, the real focus is not so much just reading his word intelligently. What you want to do is what David did, is to read what God said and to think, who is this God who would say such things? And then God called him a man after my own heart. A man after God's heart, you see. So ask God to bring you close to him during this time. You want him to make you into the image of Christ. And you can do that by this quiet time. Then four, once I've got my mind and my heart settled, once I've got the true focus of wanting God in this, number four, confess your sins. Think this through. You don't want to be the rascally kid coming to your dad and asking for favors. You want to be the obedient kid. You want to have him looking at you with some sense of approval. Remove any hindrance to your time of prayer and your devotional reading. Clear your heart of offenses against God. And then the fifth one is, if you have enough time, meditate on a short passage of Scripture, like the one above, Psalm 143, to bring your mind very close to God. Some of the great men in the time of prayer, Martin Luther would have memorized but meditated through each of the Ten Commandments. Sometimes they would meditate through the Lord's Prayer step by step by step before they went into their own prayer, before they went into their own devotional time. But if you begin thinking on the words that he has written, you bring your mind into shape. So that's the first. Pray myself empty. Now I open the Word of God to read myself full. So turn to the Bible for your devotional reading. Be sure to read at least one chapter. Person said, I don't know, I don't get much of my... What do you do for your devotion? He said, well, I read a verse a day. And well, I mean, try reading a novel like that, see if you get anything out of it, you know. Well, I read a whole sentence today, so I can't remember what I read yesterday, but no, you can't do that. So you read a chapter at least. Now, if you're trying to read through the Bible, I forget what that works out, but several chapters a day. What is it, like 5, 10, 5, 5, 6? And sometimes people doing that will try to do like 6 in the Old Testament, 5 in the New Testament, so I'm trying to get it through in 1 year. And that's a great idea. But for my purposes, I'm reading through the Bible. I do that all the time. But I'm not so concerned about making a record of how many times I've done it and so on. It's making each of these sections really count for me. So, be sure to read at least one chapter and fill yourself with the thoughts of God. Ask yourself, why does he say it like that? Why did he use that word? You see? So as you read, have certain questions on your mind. So number one, is there in this passage a promise that I can claim? Now, sometimes you're reading the Old Testament and he's promising them the land of Israel. He didn't give you the land of Israel. Just let me clue you in on this. That's not for you. But there are promises that he made to Israel because they were his children, and now we are his children. And so we can claim those promises. So, is there a promise that I can claim? Number two, is there a sin dealt with, revealed in this chapter, that I should forsake? Note what the sin is, recognize it as sin, see if it's something that you have excused in your life, or just not realized that it was wrong, and name that. Number three, is there a teaching that I should learn? Now, a lot of the Bible will give you information that you hadn't realized before, even in passages that you've read before. God will open these things up, and in fact, you'll begin to recognize that this is something especially for you today. This is something especially for you in this season of your life. This is something especially for you in a challenge that you might face this day. Number four, is there a command that I should obey? Now again, just like the promises, not every command is for you. So you have to be discernment. Jesus said, or the Bible tells us in one passage that Jesus went out and hung himself. And real close to that, you have the verse that says, Jesus said, go thou, do thou likewise. So you don't want to put those together. See, this is not reading it wisely. But is there a command that I should obey? And then five, it is very important. Is there a description of Jesus, Old Testament or New Testament? Is there a description of Jesus that I should behold? You say, what are you talking about? Pay close attention when it's talking about Jesus. And let me show you why. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The apostle says, but we all with open face, he's talking about how the Jews had to cover their face when Moses went up to talk to God. He came down, his face was shining. And they said, you're scaring us. So cover up your face. They had him put on a mask that fit over his ears. Just covered his face. And he said, and they still have their face covered when they see the truth of God today. He said, but we, with open face, we are ready to receive, you see. With open face, beholding, as in a glass, that's a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We can't see that. We're not seeing a vision of God, but we're seeing it in the Scripture. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. What happens when we behold the glory of the Lord? Lord here normally refers to Jesus Christ. He says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, his glory to our glory. We imitate his glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This isn't by human effort. This is by the magic of the Holy Spirit working in us. So the key to this isn't you deciding to, how did Christ walk? Did he sway? And I'm not going to walk like that. Or I'm going to wear sandals from now on, you know. This is not that kind of ridiculous imitation thing. This is beholding him and saying, I want to be like that. How could I be like that? And then by making that your focus, your mind is set that when you put something as your focus, you begin to transform into that image. So you should spend about half of your total quiet time in the devotional reading of Scripture. So how much time do you have? You don't have to have, 6 hours to do this. If you just have half an hour, make sure about 15 minutes is spent during this. And then to close, I close the Bible. Now I seek to pray myself active. This is my closing prayer, but it is not just a general prayer. It's a prayer about what I read. So review the Scripture in prayer. Talk to God about the things you have learned in the chapter. This actually, repeat it back to God. I learned this. Here's a promise I can claim, and I want to claim it. Here's a commandment I need to keep. Here's a sin I need to be sure to avoid, especially today. Then confess the sin. Imagine how you will claim the promise. Visualize how you will obey the command. Figure how you will implement the teaching, because the teachings of God always affect our life and our thinking or our actions. And then ask, in what way will I be able to imitate the life of Jesus? Then, as you've done that, ask for your requests. I find I am now, having done this, I'm in the best frame of mind and heart to ask my requests in the will of God and in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus doesn't mean that's what I have to say at the end, like a magic spell. It means that I can speak under the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm asking for something that he would be okay with. I am dealing with something that he approves. It is within the authority, within the name of Jesus, and certainly within the will of God. So that is keeping a quiet time, part one, and we'll look at part two next time.